This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. One of the retirement planning resources that has gained interest in recent years is the reverse mortgage. For many retirees, it seems like a solid idea. You get access to the equity in your home, and the bank makes a mortgage payment to you. It's become the source of income, and here's how it's being sold on TV.
You know, some people have told me reverse mortgages sound too good to be true. I mean, you get cash out of your home, no monthly payments, and still own your home. There's got to be a catch, right, Jesse? Well, there isn't. It's like any other mortgage, only with a reverse mortgage, the loan's paid back when the last borrower leaves the home. In fact, reverse mortgages are based on a notion that President Reagan signed into law over 25 years ago in order to help seniors remain in their homes. They're simply an effective way for folks just like you to get the cash you need to enjoy your retirement.
That sounds great, but the truth about reverse mortgages is far from ideal. It's not so simple. Reverse mortgages are complicated financial instruments where one size doesn't fit all, and there are downsides that consumers need to be aware of and need to be weighed as they consider taking out a reverse mortgage. So if you have a question about reverse mortgages, we'd like to hear from you, but we cannot give financial advice. So don't give us your specific situation, but we are talking about reverse mortgages in general. So if you've got a question about that, give us a call 210-614-8980. And our guest this half hour, Lori Tawinski. She is the Senior Strategic Policy Advisor at AARP's Public Policy Institute. And Nora Eisenhower, she's with the Office of Older Americans Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Welcome to The Source.
Thanks very much.
Now, Nora, let me ask you, how do you define a reverse mortgage? What is the technical terms? What do we need to know technically?
I think what you need to know is that it's the reverse of a mortgage. What's important is not so much for me the technical definition, is that people should understand that it's a way to access equity in one's home that's built up over years to help you stay in your home. So while with a regular mortgage you're paying every month, with a reverse mortgage it was originally designed so that consumers could access some of that equity each month to help them stay in their homes. Another key difference I think that's very important to note is that you have to continue paying property tax and you have to maintain homeowners insurance. Those are very important items to be aware of when you're thinking of what a reverse mortgage is.
Lori, at the AARP, how big is the reverse mortgage market?
Well, in the past, since its implementation originally in the late 1980s, approximately 750,000 reverse mortgages have been made, and on an annual basis, most recently, around 50,000 loans.
And is that a big part of the banking or mortgage business? Is it still small in comparison?
It's still very small. The overall amount of people who have reverse mortgages is probably a little less than 2% of those who are eligible to get one.
So, Lori, we just heard, you know, Fred Thompson making a pitch for reverse mortgages. Do they make it? They make it seem so easy, and that this is a lifesaver. And I'm sure that for some people, this does work out and is great. But is it? You know, it's a commercial. So, is it an oversimplification, Lori?
I would say that it is, because it fails to highlight the fact that this is, in fact, a loan, and with it comes obligations that you must meet. As Nora just said, you have to pay property taxes and homeowners insurance, but if you're in a condominium or a townhome environment, you also have to pay homeowners association dues and assessments, and you also have to pay to keep the property well-maintained.
So, Nora, at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, do y'all keep an eye on reverse mortgages? Do you take complaints about people who have been not happy with the way a reverse mortgage went down?
We do take complaints from consumers about experiences, and I think we also are very interested to know what's happening with consumers in this area. But I think, you know, I'd also like to highlight, you know, some of the reverse mortgage ads highlight a luxury lifestyle almost for people who may be short on cash. They imply that, again, easy access, as you said, to enhance a lifestyle in retirement. You know, and when we look at this product, it's a rather expensive loan product. It was originally designed, and I think it's a good design, as a bridge for income gaps, designed to be part of a plan, not a one-off solution. You know, you really want to look at it as part of a whole plan for later life security. So I think it's really important to note that, and I don't think that comes through in the commercials.
So the reality is, say, I'm an older American in my golden years. I am house rich, but I am cash poor. I'm living in a house that it's worth a lot of money, but I don't have an income. Social Security is not cutting it for me. Maybe I can tap into my house wealth to somehow allow me to, at least make ends meet month to month. Is that about right, Nora?
Well, it's part of the picture. You know, it's hard to come up with anything very general or broad around this issue, or really anything in retirement planning, because there are so many individual variations. And I think that when these loans were really created, we were in a very different economic climate. So I think what I will say is that they're best when consumers do have a good amount of equity. When they're in a situation where they've looked at all of their resources, Social Security, any pension, any other assets, and have used this as a way to say, here's a piece of this puzzle that's going to give me later life economic security. It's going to allow me to age in my home. Age in place is the term of art we like to use. So you're using your home to stay at home. And I think that that's a really important way to look at it. So I'm not going to be able to give you just one answer, yes or no. This is the way to go. Here's the right person for a reverse mortgage. It's a very individualized assessment, and we really think people need to take the decision steps very carefully and make sure they understand their own financial realities before they take a product like this.
So, Lori, at the AARP, we hear that this is an expensive loan. How is it an expensive loan?
Well, there are upfront mortgage insurance premiums that are charged on each loan. And so if you take out a reverse mortgage and intend to stay in your home for only 1 or 2 years, you may find that premium is very high compared with the amount of money you ended up getting out of the loan. So the longer you stay in the home, the less important and the less the upfront costs are, because they amortize over time. So people with a very short time horizon should think twice about doing this.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation. We're talking about reverse mortgages. You've probably seen the commercials. They're on TV a lot, and then they're telling you how great this is. We want to dig a little deeper in trying to explain to our listeners what you need to know about a reverse mortgage before you sign on the dotted line. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call. The number is 614-8980. You could also email with your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. The number again, 614-8980. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. A home equity conversion mortgage, it's also known as reverse mortgage. It allows people to cash in on the wealth value of their home, the equity they have in their home. If you're 62 and older, this is a tool that many seniors are using to supplement their income and to help deal with unexpected medical expenses. But there are some issues and some questions. You need to really study this before you decide whether or not you're going to do it. So we're on our guest this half hour, we have Lori Trawinski. She is a senior strategic policy advisor at AARP's Public Policy Institute, and Nora Eisenhower. She's with the Office of Older Americans Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. So before we went to break, Lori, we were talking about how expensive a reverse mortgage can be compared to a conventional mortgage. And the way I see it, I understand that the fees are often higher and the interest rate is often higher than a conventional mortgage. Is that right?
Yes. Traditionally, the interest rates are slightly higher on a reverse mortgage. It also includes, in the past, they could be fixed rate or floating rate. I think right now they can be either or, but there has been in the recent past a preference for fixed rate loans, and those rates have been higher than what you would see on a forward.
So, Nora Eisenhower at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I mean, I understand y'all did a study that showed that some people at 62, when you qualify for a reverse mortgage, that there was a trend where they were getting the lump sum of the and they may not be happy with the end result. Tell me about that study.
Well, we identified a couple of concerning trends. The lump sum is one. The age of the borrower is another. And I think, you know, when we look at both of these trends, you know, we see reflected at, you know, a different economic environment that may be leading to some of it. But the concern we have, you know, in the late 90s, the average age for someone to take a reverse mortgage was about 74 years old. And in 2010, the age dropped nearly 10 years to the early 60s. So you're seeing people access this type of product much earlier in their retirement years. I don't have a really good solution for you there, but that's something that we're noticing, and it is concerning. As far as the lump sum, I think that what we saw is that individuals would take the lump sum draw and instead of the monthly income stream. And, you know, as you can imagine, a monthly income stream is really designed to keep you getting that money every month so you can take care of some expenses. Perhaps it's a home health aid. I think these were really how these loans were designed. And taking a lump sum just doesn't work as well. You know, we know that many, many reasons for that. And I think HUD recently has addressed that challenge in their mortgagee letter, and they've really taken steps to disincentivize taking out a lump sum so that we can sort of move back to this traditional idea that it should be a monthly income stream to help you stay in your home.
So disincentivize, does that mean they're are considering rule changes to what you can do with a reverse mortgage?
Well, I think what's happened is that they've limited the first year amount that you can take to 60%. And they've done, you know, a few other things to make it a little bit less attractive. So basically, the loan draw is limited to 60% in the first year, and the lump sums are capped at 60% of available proceeds. So we think it's going to make a difference.
Well, let me ask you, Laurie, over at the AARP. Some people are concerned that your heirs don't get the house when, say, you know, when it comes to the will time, that the house is already gone. Is that how this works?
Well, the house will pass to the heirs, however, as specified in the will. But at that time, the loan becomes due and payable. So if the heirs have the money to pay off the loan, they can keep the house. If they don't have the money to pay off the loan or they don't want the house, they can sell the house. And if there are proceeds left over after the sale of the house, the heirs are entitled to them. So in the current price environment, because we've seen such a large decline in house prices in many areas, it is often the case where the heirs may not want the house or might have difficulty getting a loan to purchase the house. And so in that case, they would just turn you have the option to turn the keys over to the lender or to HUD and to exit that way.
We did get a comment online of email. I'm a mobile notary signing agent, and I sit with people to complete these closings all the time. Most of the time, they don't really understand them because they are so complicated. They especially don't understand the repayment policy. Can you talk a little bit about what happens when both owners die? What happens to the property, and what can the family do to regain ownership? Laurie, can you help us with that?
Okay, so as I said previously, the house will pass to heirs as specified in the will. So heirs who were going to inherit the home will inherit the home just the same.
They're inheriting the whole package that includes the reverse mortgage. I mean, So go ahead. I'm sorry.
They're inheriting the house, but there's money owed on the loan, and the loan is due and payable. They are given a period of time during which they can make a payment and pay off the loan. If they can't, they then have the option to sell the home. But in any case, the loan must be repaid. But What is a special feature of reverse mortgages is they are non-recourse loans, which means that if the value of the home is less than the amount owed, the borrower or the heirs will never have to pay that difference. So they're only required to either turn over the house or pay off the loan, but they HUD or the lender cannot come after the heirs if the loan value is greater than the home value at the time of loan termination.
So, Nora, at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, I mean, the email demonstrates that there are still people signing these documents. They don't really understand everything that they're getting involved with. I know that your policy there is a no before you owe. Is there enough effort out there to really educate people beyond marketing to people about reverse mortgages?
You know, I work in the Consumer Education and Engagement Division, and I would say there's never enough education out there on any topic in something as complicated as a mortgage or reverse mortgage, these really big financial products. But I will tell you that one of the pieces of advice that we give is to really talk to your family and your loved ones to prepare them for what you think may be coming down the pike. Another important point I'd really like to make is if you are living together, borrow together. This is something that really affects the individual, the family, and their loved ones, and we really want to make sure people are following that. I will say thank you for getting the know before you owe phrase right. That's really an important part of what we are very, very concerned about. And in fact, we've created a consumer guide for those that may be considering a reverse mortgage, and you can get it from our agency at consumerfinance.gov. And it's a very helpful piece. It's a short, relatively short, considering the complexity of the product. We look at important questions that you're going to want to answer and alternatives. You know, one thing we haven't discussed today, and I know the topic is reverse mortgages, is that this is really a piece of a puzzle, a whole package of alternatives that older consumers should be looking at. I think that Lori's description of the implications for the sale of the home, for the family members, is really just the tip of the iceberg as far as indicating how complicated this product is. And it works for some people, but it may not be for everybody.
We're going to link to a lot of this information on our website for people who are listening and want to follow up on this who have some additional questions. But so, Nora, you mentioned about if spouses are in the home together, they both have to sign the documents, or else if one dies who signed the documents, then the other one could be tossed out. Is that what's happening out there?
You know, we have heard of these circumstances, and I think it's a huge concern. I think that what we really want to make very clear to people that if you are living in the home together, you need to borrow together. I think that there's, you know, clearly some incentives in the mortgages, and that if, say, a couple is of different ages and the spouse who borrows is older, they may be able to draw down more dollars immediately. So that's been something that's very concerning. I think our main rule of thumb here is if you're living together, borrow together.
So, Lori, at the AARP, I mean, the one of the rules for reverse mortgages, you don't have to repay the loan as long as you occupy the house. But if you have to go to, say, like an assisted living facility and you no longer are living in the house, do you have to start paying back the home then?
Yes, if you are out of the home, what they say, out of the home permanently, which is for a consecutive period longer than 6 months, the loan will be due and payable if you are the last remaining borrower in the home. So if you're a married couple and you're both on the loan, you know, you both signed the mortgage note, and one spouse goes into assisted living, that will not trigger repayment. But if you are the last borrower on the loan and you go into a nursing home and you're gone for longer than 6 months, yes, it will mean the loan needs to be repaid.
Does that sometimes, you know, incentivize people to stay in their homes longer than they actually should?
That's an interesting question. I can't say that I've heard any stories along that vein, because what many people do is use the reverse mortgage proceeds to help pay for home modifications or to pay for home health aides to come in. But you know, I really can't speculate on that.
So you have to own the house free and clear. You can't have any liens and any of these other issues on the house, right? Is that right, Laura?
No, that's not actually correct. You must have substantial equity in the home. But at the time you go to get the reverse mortgage, if you still have a forward mortgage, you may use the proceeds of the reverse to pay off the forward loan. So you can't have any liens after getting the reverse mortgage. So that's why you're seeing a lot of people getting a lump sum, for their proceeds, because many people have mortgage debt at older ages, and so they must pay off those forward loans before they can get the reverse.
And Nora at the Financial Protection Bureau, do people need to shop around? Do these types of loans and what they're charging, does it vary from lender to lender?
You know, I think you always need to shop around, and I really want to emphasize that the more you know going into and thinking about a reverse mortgage or, for example, going into the counseling, the better you will be. Knowing your options, having this be a very serious conversation, and understanding how a reverse mortgage works, and I think our conversations here today have really highlighted that. There are probably still questions that certainly I can't answer, but, you know we can get the answers when we take time and really consider this very carefully.
You're not going to get all the answers by watching a 60-second commercial on late-night TV. It could get you interested, but then you got to find out, does this work for me? I definitely want to thank you, Lori Twierynski. She is the Senior Strategic Policy Advisor at AARP's Public Policy Institute, and Nora Eisenhower, Office of Older Americans Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Thank you for joining us on The Source this afternoon.
Thanks, David.